This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. Renowned investigative journalist Wayne Barrett died this week at the age of 71. Barrett started working for the Village Voice in the early 1970s and gained a reputation as a fierce and dogged reporter, investigating New York City politicians and personalities for decades. He wrote books on former mayors Ed Koch and Rudy Giuliani. He also wrote extensively about a certain real estate mogul come president, Donald Trump. Joining us now to give us insight into Barrett's life and work is Tom Robbins, Barrett's longtime friend and colleague, who is now investigative reporter in residence at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. His work appears in the Marshall Project and the New York Times. Thanks for joining us, Tom. So sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Sean. Much appreciated.
Just to start off, can you tell us a story about Wayne and his reporting that maybe gives us some insight into his life and his reporting style and maybe his personality?
Sure. You know, for all that fierceness, which Wayne is rightly known by, in fact, when he would sit down with interview subjects, he was actually had a very gentle mode that he would go into, and it was something that surprised me when I first watched him. Wayne was a door knocker. By that I mean, you know, he would often just walk up to the door of someone that he was seeking to interview for a story without a phone call to announce that he was coming or to give anybody a heads up, and just they would open the door and there would be Wayne Barrett, and he would say, "Can I come in and talk to you?" And I was with him on the very first story that we worked on. It was a subject where it was after dark in the evening, and we were down in a neighborhood in Bay Ridge where the subject we wanted to talk to lived. And Wayne said, "Let's just go knock on the door." And I said, "Well, don't you want to give him a call?" And he said, no, let's just go talk. And in fact, we got a surprising welcome, you know, where people wanted to be able to give their side of the story and explain. And I think that was part of the Barrett method, was to confront people directly, to ask straight questions. Wayne never confused the sinner with the sin. You know, he didn't really go after people as permanent enemies. Well, I should say not most people anyways, but he always wanted to be able to get at the story and to be able to get all the details that he could. And he wanted to do it face to face whenever he could.
Well, speaking of one of the subjects he did cover, he got a lot of credit over the past year for his reporting on Donald Trump. His exhaustive biography, The Deals and the Downfall, came out in 1992. What was it about Trump that led Barrett to choose him as a subject long before Trump even entered politics?
As Wayne told the story, is that his mentor, Jack Newfield, another great voice stalwart, suggested to Wayne, maybe you should take a look at this new kid on the block, this young developer, son of a prominent Queens, Brooklyn developer, Fred Trump, who's now trying to put together a deal in what was then the old Commodore Hotel on 42nd Street near Grand Central to build a grand new fancy Grand Hyatt and see what he's up to. And in those, Wayne did his door knocking. He went and he did sit down. I think he said that he, you know, managed to record like about a dozen or more hours of interviews with Trump before I think Trump recognized that he was dealing with someone that was could be a serious problem. And as Wayne told the story, Wayne then lived in Brownsville, Brooklyn, with his wife Fran, and it wasn't the ritziest neighborhood. And when Trump learned that, he said to Wayne one day, "You know, Wayne, you don't have to live in Brownsville. I have apartments."
Wow.
And the bribe, which was, you know, not unfamiliar, I think, to people who, you know, crossed swords with Trump, reporters, you know, he wasn't the only reporter to get that kind of offer, was clear that, like, you're either going to take this or else we're going to have a problem. And shortly after Wayne laughed and said, "No, I'm very happy in our Brownsville apartment," he started getting calls from Trump's attack dog lawyer, Roy Cohn. And if anything, Roy Cohn was notorious for lots of reasons, but he really was the man who is now sitting in the Oval Office. He probably did more to guide his starting out than anyone else. And Wayne's interest and appetite was just rose after that, and it never fell.
And Barrett wrote about every mayor from Beam to Blasio. His book City for Sale, which again you mentioned Jack Newfield, he wrote that with Newfield. It's about the scandals under Ed Koch. It was published in 1988. It's still a classic in the field of urban investigative reporting. What do you think drew Barrett to New York and city government in particular?
Well, Wayne, you know, it's funny. Wayne was an import to New York. He was actually, you know, he was raised in Lynchburg, Virginia, which was pretty much the Deep South. And he came to New York originally. He went to Columbia Journalism School. He graduated in 1968, spent the summer of 68 following Bobby Kennedy, reporting on his campaign across the country, and then came back and settled in Brownsville and reporting on issues of urban poverty for a local weekly that he started and working sort of as an organizer. And he also was a teacher involved in the Ocean Hill-Brownsville school strike back then. And he was so immersed in New York, it was a big enough canvas for him. He never felt the need to move on. And one of the things we lost when he died last week is this repository of his encyclopedic knowledge of, you know, not just, you know, the big political stories, but literally the names of every district leader that he had committed to memory and that he would use to sort of follow this chain to figure out what was going on. This was a guy whose idea of a day at the beach was literally to sit in his beach chair and read campaign filings or state legislative reports. And yeah, he would just have a great time sitting there getting his tan.
And you actually – you mentioned the Columbia Journalism School and also just having this repository of knowledge to pass on to others and help continue his legacy. He was he mentored a lot of young journalists. He taught at the Columbia Journalism School for a really long time. What do you think he would say right now to new journalists in the Trump age who are maybe thinking about journalism and maybe are thinking about a little bit of trepidation or just confusion?
You know, Wayne had this sort of shorthand version that he would use to talk to classrooms of both young students and older ones, you know, where he would make a couple of points. One was, you know, he, in order to explain what he did for a living to his son's grade school class, he showed up with a trench coat on and he pulled his notebook out of his pocket and he said, "We are detectives for the people." And the other thing he would say to people who were a little, look, I mean, this is a business, the business of reporting, in which your job is to tell the truth and you're actually paid to tell the truth, unlike almost anything else that you can do in life. This is your assignment. The point Joe Connison makes in a piece that's in the Daily News today, that was Wayne's commitment. I know that the failure of the tremendous investigative reporting that was done on Donald Trump over the past year and a half before his election, the failure of television, both network and cable, to follow up on those stories was a source of tremendous frustration to him and a lot of other journalists. And I think that's where the fault line lay. And one of the messages that Wayne conveyed at an award dinner for City Limits a few months ago before he died was that, you know, if we really want to be able to figure out how to make change and how to make sure that our stories have impact, we're going to have to really monitor the systems that govern how airwaves are treated and all the technological aspects of journalism, because that's really what it's coming down to. So I think that would be his message, to do both the kind of, you know, person-to-person, dogged, intrepid reporting that it takes, at the same time to keep an eye on what was going on, to watch the parking meters, as Bob Dylan used to say.
And not to put you on the spot here, Tom, but you took a stand at the Village Voice when Wayne was let go. You made the choice to move on when he left the paper. I personally feel like that's a quality in journalists that you don't tend to see or people want to see more of in terms of that personal integrity. I imagine it takes a lot to leave your job for a colleague. What was it about him that inspired that kind of loyalty in you?
Two things. One was personal. I did two tours at The Voice, one in the 80s and another. I went back there after being at the Daily News with Jack Newfield for a long time in 2000. And both times I was at the invitation of Wayne that I joined The Voice. So as I said to him when I decided to leave, I'm going out with the guy who brought me to the dance. And that seemed pretty fundamental in terms of just if they didn't need him, they really didn't need me. But in a broader scheme, I thought that even though the contraction in journalism, there's, you know, this downhill slide in revenues is causing us to decrease newsroom staffs so much. But when they said they no longer needed the guy who I thought really stood for real deep investigative reporting about New York, when they said we're going to dispense with him, I thought, well, you know, if you're saying that, you're sending such a message, I would feel foolish to continue to appear in print in a publication or online that has said we don't really need Wayne Barrett anymore, because they did need Wayne Barrett. And I think had they kept him on and figured out a way to keep his services in some other capacity, the Village Voice, which is now under new ownership, thankfully, struggling to get back, you know, they'd be much better poised.
Tom Robbins was a friend and colleague of Wayne Barrett, the legendary investigative reporter who died this week at the age of 71. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you, Sean.
You're listening to Weekend Edition on WNYC.